I'm speaking today with David Scott, who is running for the State Board of Education position at District 6. David, the first question I have to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, back in 2008, I went into the voting booth to vote, and my choices for District 6 were a Republican and a Libertarian, and I didn't like either choice, and so I said to myself, the next time that position comes up, if everything is right with what I'm doing in my life, with the kids and everything, then I'll put my name forward and hopefully be able to make better choices than our incumbents have made.
What is your background in education?
In education specifically, I don't really have I'm not a teacher or anything like that. I'm a librarian, but I've been a public librarian, not a school librarian. And so I've been in the business of educating people in a kind of informal way. And on top of that, I've dealt with the public school system here at HISD. My two oldest daughters are in HISD, and that's about it, really, in terms of formality.
Okay. You know, what are your priorities if you're elected to the State Board of Education?
I think my biggest priority would be really scaling back the importance of standardized testing. I think we focus way too much on that, and it's getting in the way of teaching. On top of that, what we are teaching with our various curricula is kind of politics is getting in the way of our curriculums now, and I'd like to end that as well. I'd like to see the State Board making decisions based on what kind of education is best for the kids for the future, rather than trying to put a political or religious agenda in front of our kids to make them think and behave a certain way.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that, since, you know, that has been mostly in the news for the State Board the last couple of years.
I don't think I'm alone in thinking that.
Yes. Let's talk about the science curriculum. In fact, just recently, the Fordham Institute released a report that critiqued science curricula around the country. Texas was given a C. They said that Texas achieved what it did in spite of the board, not because of it. Let's talk. What do you see as being the problems with the state's science curriculum, and what should be done to fix it?
I think one of the main things that, if I'm remembering correctly, that the Fordham Institute criticized was that we kind of danced around evolution rather than saying this is the scientific consensus and this is what you need to be teaching. We kind of say, well, it's there. We're not teaching the controversy or whatever they want to call it, but we're not putting the science out there. We're not saying this is what it is, and until it's proven scientifically different, well, this is what we're teaching. And, you know, with the resources of Texas, Rick Perry talks about all the jobs that we've created. We should have a lot more resources to put towards our education, and we're not allocating those resources to get a proper science education, I don't think.
Okay. Before that fight was the fight over the social studies curriculum, and the Fordham Institute gave us an F on that one.
It's always a fight, isn't it?
It is. You know, one of the things that came out in the discussion over the social studies curriculum was that a lot of people complained it gave short shrift to people of color, Latinos especially. You know, how do you critique the social studies curriculum, and what would you want to do about it?
I think that we have had a problem with, I don't want to call it revisionist, but with an exclusionary kind of teaching of history. I remember when I was in school, I think learning about Texas history, we learned about Lorenzo de Zavala and maybe Juan Seguin and no other Mexican Texans. And that was from, you know, the beginning of Texas history to current. It was all Caucasian Texans, primarily men, that we learned about. And I think that's been the same today. Texas has a huge, rich Latino heritage that has largely been ignored. And there's no, if you want to teach the actual Texas history, I don't think there's any way to get around teaching it. And we need to be teaching it because that's what the Texas history is.
Okay. Now, to get back to this standardized testing for the moment, the board recently voted to delay implementing testing on the new math standards until the legislature promises you know, the money would be available to buy the textbooks. That's caused a little bit of controversy. You know, mostly the legislature didn't have, you know, the legislature hasn't liked the sound of that. What do you say about that? Would you have done the same?
I think I would have, because it seems kind of ridiculous to me to say this is what we're testing you on, and these new tests, you have to pass these to graduate and get your diploma. But by the way, we're not going to let you see the materials and teach it to you before you have to know it. I mean, I think there should be kind of a phasing in. Here are the materials first. Let the teachers learn how they want to teach the new stuff and then phase in the new tests, rather than what seems to be the opposite, and putting the tests in first before actually teaching the material.
Now, do you think the board should be doing more to encourage the use of electronic materials? You know, right? I mean, we spend a lot of money on plain old paper textbooks. You know, the legislature has been trying to push that. What should be the board be doing?
It's a tough one for me, because I found when I became a librarian that I'm actually kind of a traditionalist. I prefer paper books rather than, even though I have an ebook reader, you know, it's hard for me to pick it up and actually read on it. And despite the great things you can do on iPads and stuff like that, I personally prefer books. My main worry with the technology is that how quickly is it going to be out of date in terms of performance, not what's available, because that's the great thing about it. It can be updated instantly, but you know, how fast is an iPad 1, you know, that came out two years ago, and it's already been superseded, and is in 3 years it's going to be superseded again. And so if we go out and buy a lot of iPads for our kids, how quickly are they going to not be compatible with people's computers at home and computers at the schools, and programs and apps won't be available to run on those. They'll only be running on the new generation stuff. And so I'm wary of wasting a lot of money on it before it's a lot better mapped out on what the plan is to be continually updated.
There was a push in the legislature this last session to allocate some money from the permanent school fund, some of the, I guess, the money that it makes in a given year, to be used towards the purchase of school materials like textbooks. Normally that money has just been reinvested. What's your position on that?
That's a tough one. I mean, we need the school materials, and I know that a large part of the permanent school fund is supposed to go towards instructional materials, if I'm remembering correctly, and I may not be. And so I think there's got to be a balance between maintaining the primary fund and using it for its purpose, but also funding from the legislature to, as materials get more and more expensive, we don't want to knock down the school fund. And so I think we need to have two funding sources, the permanent school fund and its interest and investments, and also allocations from the legislature.
There's also been some talk on the board to allow charter schools to essentially get capital funds from the permanent school fund for the purpose of, you know, building facilities. Right now, their biggest complaint is that funding is a lot harder for them to get. Do you agree or disagree with this idea?
I am not really in favor of charter schools getting public funds. In my mind, a private entity that wants to start a school should start their own private school, not start a private school and ask for public funding for it. I understand that some charter schools have had great success with different models and different things that they do, but I would much prefer to see our funding go towards those kind of innovations and programs in regular traditional public schools, rather than abandoning the public school to give money to either nonprofit or for-profit corporations to run schools.
Does the state board do a good job managing the permanent school fund? I mean, that's one of its charters. Should the management of the permanent school fund be in the hands of 15 elected officials, or is it better done, you know, by an appointed board of financial types?
I think sometimes I think I go both ways on it. I think that, you know, allowing it to be run by the 15 elected officials lets it, you know, people be accountable. If you screw it up, you can potentially get voted out, and, you know, so you have an obligation to do it right. But on the other hand, people who are appointed hopefully will be, if it's their job, you know, if they're hired as an accountant or financial advisor, they'll do their best because that's what they do for their living, and they'll keep any kind of politics out of it. And so I can see both sides of it, but I think I'm not a financial advisor, and not anything close to it, and so I'm not sure I'm qualified to say these are the best investments we need to be making right here. So I think I would err towards leaning or hiring a state firm. I'm not sure if I want to go outside. I think we have the ability to do it in-house with, you know, the legislative offices and their various accountants to run this.
I mean, to take a step back, you know, the legislature, you know, some members of the legislature have argued that the State Board of Education has outlived its usefulness, and that the roles that it plays, I mean, you know, should be given to the legislature and or the Texas Education Agency. I mean, over the years, you know, the powers given to the State Board have kind of waxed and waned depending on who they've annoyed in the legislature lately. Do we need a State Board of Education? Would we be better served by saying all these functions are either go to the TEA or are the purview of the legislature?
I actually am in favor of expanding the board. I don't think that 15 members with the population the size that Texas has can respond to the needs of its constituents. I think that with 15 people, you risk getting too narrow of an ideology with, you know, an 8-member majority. And so expanding it to take into account, you know, population shifts, and I think District 6 has somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 2+ million, 2 to 3 million people. I could be wrong on that, but it's, you know, that's a lot of people to talk to and to serve in one district. And so I think, you know, rather than getting rid of it and assigning it to TEA or the legislature, I think assigning it to the legislature would just politicize it even more, and we'd end up with more stalemates and less getting done. Expand it, you know, to 25, 30 people to get a broader range of opinions, and hopefully with a somewhat larger board, you could get a little bit more consensus, a little bit less personal animosity, I think.
Well, you're right that a board with 15 members, you know, all the districts are twice the size of you know, the state Senate districts, more than twice the size now of what congressional districts will be. Yet this is a down ballot, low information, low money race. How do you reach out to the people that you would be serving as a state board member, you know, given that it's not the sort of thing where you're going to have $1 million to spend?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm finding out, is that it's really hard with a district of this size, and I'm lucky that District 6 geographically is pretty compact compared to, say, some of the West Texas districts where they, you know, hundreds of miles. I think the best thing to do as a board member for me in District 6 would be to take the time to go around and meet with all the various school boards, the 10 districts that are in District 6, the boards, the administrators, the teachers, the PTO organizations, the people who have a vested interest in the educational system, and meet with them to figure out what their needs are and where they want our educational system to go. Something as personal as education, as your kid's education, it has to be a face-to-face interaction where you're actually talking to people, not just putting out commercials and a bland website with maybe a comment feature or an email address for people to get to. Definitely a lot more face-to-face talking to the people that have an interest.
And when we do have this primary for this race, you do have two opponents. When Yes. We do get to vote in the Democratic primary, why should people vote to make you the nominee for State Board of Education District 6 and not one of your opponents?
I think one of the things that I bring to the table that they don't, they are both teachers and have experience in the classroom, and I think in a way, my experience as a librarian kind of trumps that in a way, because as a librarian, I've learned how to talk to people, find out their needs for their information needs, and then go out and find the best information for them. And since I've not been in a classroom and I don't have a teaching ideology, I can talk to all the teachers out there and get what they from where they are coming from and put it all together to get a hopefully a positive result, rather than saying this is how I taught, this is what I believe, and only and ignoring people who don't have the same teaching philosophy as me. I think that kind of counterintuitively, my lack of classroom experience will help me in that, that I am free to listen to people without preconceived notions of how it's supposed to be done.
Okay. David Scott, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you.